I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Are you sure? Alone in the dark, can you see beyond your fear? An Infograms game.
Ooh. Infograms.
Infograms, I'm an armadillo.
Hello and happy Halloween month to you all, and welcome back to Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I'm having a hard time moving around. Perhaps it's these terrible tank controls and busted camera angles. Oh well, maybe I can be Christian Slater one day, and, you know, if I just keep this up, it'll be fine.
Now you made me sad. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I can't tank this game enough for ruining survival horror controls and all these polygons for me. Karn, loading disc 2, me. Also, don't ask me about the hellhound I had to put down. I said don't ask.
I don't want to know. Was there a hellhound? I don't think I played far enough to get the hellhound.
If you made it into the dream, if you played Alone in the Dark all the way up to the Dreamcast and you played the new Nightmare, there are hellhounds. And I have a story later about said headhounds. Hellhounds.
What's the difference?
Headhounds.
They got those
hounds
same
made out of heads.
Resident Evil had the hellhounds in 98 or 7 or whatever that was for the first Resident Evil. And so I feel like this is Alone in the Dark taking it back. You know, they're like, hey, get out of here.
Yeah, I think you would absolutely be right. We are definitely going to get to that because there is definitely a feeding that goes back and forth between Alone in the Dark and the Resident Evil.
Yeah, I'm going to give, you know, we'll do this proper here in a minute, but I'm going to give Alone in the Dark the edge here. Not that they're better games, because I don't think they are, but they were first. For most
they
of
were
stuff.
First. Yeah. They were doing it first, yo.
Yeah, first matters sometimes. So
it does.
What does it matter in? It matters in video games. What else does first matter? Races, you know, if you're going to race somebody.
Race.
I don't mean race like, you know, like human race. I mean like, you know, you're in a race for 50-yard line race and you win.
Right.
If you win, first matters. What else?
First in love. You want to be first in love?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
that's a nice thought on this Halloween month. Ooh. Sperm. Chat room says sperm. That's true. First matters.
That's why I said love instead of I was going to go with something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I didn't because the chat room does it for me. Thank you for being the bad guy.
The little sperm gets there first and hopefully he doesn't have to fight too hard to get through there.
But it's not necessarily the one that gets there first, right? Because it isn't like a mem- this is Play Retro show, by the way. We talk about retro video games. But sometimes we talk about at the cellular level. And you don't have to be just being first doesn't mean you're gonna get through there, right?
Because first there's a membrane. It's first through the membrane. Insane
first
in the brain.
To the membrane.
Yep, that's the one. If you do that, you get through that egg first, you're...
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
you're
we are.
You're home free.
That's what you are. That's what I am.
What happens to the rest of them? I need to know some more biology. What happens if they just, like, quit?
They die.
Like,
they die. I like to think
well, I know they died, but how they not? What happened?
I wish they were put to work. Like they were like, you know, took smaller jobs, you know, just keep things clean, just kind of hanging out, you know, like
now custodial. I feel like my sex ed was really lacking in high school because I'm thinking, yeah, how is it only one makes it through? What happens after that?
It's a numbers game, but the goal is just let's get one there. That's it.
But what happens is that does the membrane on the egg suddenly stiffen up and it tosses everybody out, or the other sperm just go, nah, he's already in there. Forget it. Let's go home, guys.
The one that fertilizes first is the winner. You might even have one there right next to it trying to do that, but it just, you know, if it can't do it.
But what's the actual point behind the second one going, I just quit? What happens?
I don't think they just quit. I think they just keep trying until they die. It's such a kind of a miserable brief existence, those poor little guys. I feel bad for him.
My mind has just gotten blown. I'm like, I don't actually know how that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. Being first is you've ruined everything for me now. I don't even know what being first is about now.
Well, today we'll find out if you're first in our video game discussion about Alone in the Dark. Maybe you were first first to kill the hellhound. I don't know. We'll find out shortly. But before we do, a couple of retro things going on the side. I picked up a game I wanted to recommend for people who really like Asteroids but want something modern, something that isn't necessarily, hey, I want to just go back and play the old arcade game on MAME or something like that. Atari put out a bunch of games with the Recharged brand name on them.
Yes,
there's a whole bundle in there. You can buy the whole thing for like 40 something bucks. I just wanted to taste test it and see what we had here, and I thought, well, you know what, I like Asteroids. Let's see how Asteroids Recharged is. It's only 10 bucks on Steam. And it's like a really cool modern take on the old game. Think like Pac-Man Championship Edition 1 and 2, or think the Galaga one that's super crazy, that Space Invaders
game. Or a Centipede Recharge, like we talked about briefly last week.
Yeah, we did. That's how it came up, actually. That was what reminded me of it. I was like, well, I should check one of these out. So that's the one I grabbed. It had the highest reviews. That was the other reason I wanted it. And it's a cool take on an old game. And it even has a mode that lets you play it basically like the old one. With the same rules and stuff. But the modern version of it is like, hey, this plays like that game, but also there are power-ups and stuff. And those power-ups are temporary, and they are awesome while you have them. And it's a little bit more like a, I'm not going to call it a roguelike, because it's still kind of just a leaderboard type thing, three lives and you're dead, that sort of thing.
Right.
Cool music. It's pretty rad. And it plays really well on the Steam Deck, is the other
side. Do you go... When you're speeding up and going around like the
different sound, but yes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you still do that.
Can you give me a sample? Can you just do it with your mouth? A little mouth sample. Just okay. Sounds like Grandpa snoring. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's about right. Anyway, good stuff there. Hey, Brian, what else have you been doing in the world of retro gaming?
Oh, wow. I had an amazing weekend this past week. My son, Drew, that's my oldest son. You've met him before when we've got little get-togethers. He introduced me to an amazing retro gaming store up in Anderson, South Carolina. It's called Game Cash. It's in a mall of all places.
Oh, wow.
It's about like an hour away from me. And now I'm pretty sure I'm going to be broke because, I mean, these people had every freaking thing.
Are they really into it? Like, you can tell they're like super, you know, hardcore, you know, in that world. And so now the only thing they could do is make a store. Cause what else are you going to do with that lifestyle? Right.
They're like my spirit animal because so I was going in there and I was like, oh, Andrew's telling me about it. He's like, yeah, it's a retro game store. I'm like, oh yeah, I've been to retro game stores. You go in there, you find a bunch of cases, you know, it's like they got grades on them and stuff, you know, they're all in the little plastic containers and it's like, yeah, right. Like I'm spending $300 on this. Mm-hmm. And so I was worried to get that, but no, I got there and it's like this amazing mix of them cataloging stuff. You know, it from all the way from like the, you know, the Atari 2600 on to, you know, more recent things like the PS2, even some PS3 stuff, just a huge variety of game gear, and cartridges. And they've done a pretty good display in one section of the store where they've kind of got everything, you know, marked and priced reasonably too. Like, and so I was glad for that. And, but then they also had like this big area of stuff they were going through, and the area of stuff they were going through was outrageous. And we was like, can we look at this stuff too? And they were like, yeah, go ahead. And no prices on those things. You just pick them up and you go, huh? And then he gets on his little phone. I'm sure he's going to like price charting or, you know, or eBay or something. And he's like looking at the price. And I'm doing the same thing. You know, we're having like a little game where he's going through his phone. I'm going through my phone. I'm like, okay, go ahead. Just you say a price. We'll just see if you're really ripping me off or not.
Right.
And so, you know, he basically quoted me the price of what you would see on a price charting. And then he come off that a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I could get it instantly. I didn't have to pay shipping. He tested it for me so I could see that it worked, you know, and if it broke, I could take it back. By the way, it's game cash, like C-A-C-H-E.
Yeah, like you're caching your memory or whatever.
Right. And so I was like, yeah, this is the place for me, man, because, you know, nothing had to be in pristine condition because that's not me. I'm not looking for like, I need this game and I need it in a case and I need a manual. Those were options.
If they're there, great. But, yeah, you'll pay more, yeah, but sure.
Yeah, but I thought it was, oh, Lel is saying, sorry, our mall sucks in Anderson. Is it? I'll tell you what. I went to the Anderson Mall. Congratulations on those guys for reenacting 1980s. Because this mall looked like it is, even the, it's funny because I'm in there and a lot of the stores, since 80s clothing, you know, is making a comeback in a lot of ways, all the stores in there were carrying like these old 80s looking clothes and stuff. And I literally felt like I was stepping back in time. This is older mall. It's been there for a while. It was there during the 80s.
Sure.
It's fine. It's not a bad mall. My mall here we have is practically abandoned, but you know, they try to make it look modern. That's fine. But it's really nothing more than a, you know, like the strip malls.
Well, according to their website, they've still got things like, you know, JCPenney, GNC, Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They got American the old Eagle. School
They're
stuff.
Fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
So just actually, go in there. You know what? I'm going to argue that mall's doing better than most. I went to a mall the other day that used to be the freaking bomb, dude. That place had everything you'd ever want ever. And it's all dumb stores and weird, like converted. You know, what used to be a big department store is now like a weird art installation, and it's just a funky like attempt to try to revive it all. But there was one at ours as well called Platform. It's a funny name for a game store, but same deal.
Like
just chock. It's smaller than this because I'm looking at pictures here.
Yeah,
but it's chock full of you know, old consoles, cartridges, stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
And, so, and this also while we were there, there was somebody who had pretty good idea. Really, they had set up an arcade. We got there kind of early. Some of the places were still closed. It was a Sunday. No, it was a Saturday. Was it a Saturday? It was a Saturday. But they hadn't opened everything up. And there was an arcade in there. I was like, oh, an arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a room full of 1-Up arcade machines.
Oh, my.
And you just played paid a flat fee. You got to go in there and play those. They had some adult nights where, you know, you could play more adult games because it is a mall still. And they had monitors on the walls. They had PS5s and, you know, Xbox Series X's. And it was just, I was like, cool, dude. Wish this was open right now, but it's not. But, man, yeah, going to Game Cash in the Anderson Mall and getting to meet, I think his name was Todd. It was his name. And I think he's the dad, and then his son actually owns the store. I want to go back and meet him, too. But, man, I found a Sega Genesis 32. I found the Sega Genesis 32X, but I also found, like, the CD, the Sega CD, which I've been looking for one.
Yeah.
And it had the platform for it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I found that in the little bin I was looking at. And he's like, oh, you want one of those? And I was like, yeah. He said, well, we haven't tested that one yet, but let me go put you one together. So he had like all the cables in one area and he had like a whole bunch of them. And
I love this. I love
wow.
it. I
could
I love
just
it.
Come
I'd
in
go
here.
There all the time. I would probably avoid a mall unless if they had a store like this, I would go there more often.
Right.
That means I would eat there. That means I would help turn that damn place around, man.
If this thing was like I said, thank God it's an hour away because I'm already going to be broke. But I would be even more broke. I figured we'd probably play the zombies ate my neighbor's game probably sometime in the near future. So I went ahead and picked up a copy of that.
Yep.
I think I paid like 20 something bucks for it. If you go on like price charting, it's like $25-$30 for the loose. And so, yeah, just really excited. Just want to give a shout out to those guys. That was a pretty good experience. Big shout out.
I'm going to try something real quick. I'm going to call them and ask them a question. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see what
you
happens.
Get the phone
here.
Number? Are they open now?
I got it right here. Hold on.
Do it.
Okay. Here we go. Ring. Second ring.
Thanks for calling Game Cash. This is Trey.
Yes, Troy, I was wondering if you guys have any copies of Top Gun for the Nintendo Entertainment System, the old cartridge?
I believe so. Give me a second, I can dig around.
Awesome. You're actually more, I could, more curious about how much that might cost. Is there a general cost for that era of game, or is it specific per game?
Yeah, they're all individually priced, but that one's definitely one of the least expensive ones.
Yeah, it's not a great game.
That one's only like $7.
$7. Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you so much. All right.
Wait, that's Trey. That's the owner.
Is that the guy?
I didn't talk to Trey. He wasn't there that day. Okay. But yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah, see? Look at the service. $7 game. It is a bad game.
It is a bad game. But still, it was a good question. I mean, because you knew he would know off the top of his head.
Right. That's all I could think of.
That was good.
That's all I could think of. All right.
No, that's good.
Let's take a walk over here to this.
Wait.
Oh, what? Did I miss something? What'd I miss?
Yeah, wait. I did. I talked way too long, but I got to give a shout out.
Oh, what'd you do?
I got to give a shout out.
Someone sent Brian more free shit. I just know how this is going to go. What'd you get? Oh my gosh. He's opening a giant box. There's something rad in here. Damn it. Look at this.
Look at this. Anthony assembled and sent me this, and you're thinking, oh cool, an Atari 2600, except it's Legos, baby.
What? It's got the working guts in there? Oh no, it's a little arcade house.
It's got like a little diorama inside.
Dude,
yeah,
is that a kit or did he make that up?
No, you can get this from Lego. This is a real kit. There's the NES version as well, but this is the Atari version. Oh. And it is wicked cool, man. You know, it's got it slides open, the little power buttons and the difficulty, game select, all that stuff. It comes with a little controller. And I've thought about it. I thought, like, man, I wonder if I could put a Raspberry Pi in here or something and hook it up for reals. I think that'd be kind of cool.
What did I do to these people? Why do they not like me?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you check your email from time to time? Because you remember we showed that the Legend of Zelda game manual?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
We had an offer from a printer in Texas, and we're going to be talking about that more when it arrives. But he said to send me the address, and I sent you a Discord message on that. Yeah. You just need to send me your address, and he's going to print them out for us.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I guess I should check that email. I check that email every week when I go pick one for the show. Ah, shit. Well, all right, look, then.
There's a lot of messages in there. We only read a few. You might think we only have a few emails every week, because we only read a couple of them. But yeah, we get a good bit of email through that.
We get a load.
PlayRetroShow@gmail.com.
That's right. Check this out.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah, let's play a game. Let's play Alone in the Dark. Yeah, baby. The 1992 DOS 3DO Mac game. Where this thing first originally showed its ugly face. And I say ugly only in retrospect. At the time, I think we were all a little blown away by it. I was. I remember going, ooh, look at this. And my PC wouldn't play it because it was too old. And I think I needed
an upgrade. How would you like to hear like a quick a magazine review from that before we get it started? What do you think?
So
review of the time. This is 1993, Electronic Games. Remember those guys?
Yeah, I remember them. They're still around. Yeah. Aren't they?
All
Electronic Games?
Perfect.
They're still around, aren't they? No.
Yeah,
oh, I'm
no,
thinking of,
don't,
you know what?
It's, not, I don't think.
I'm just thinking of Electronic Arts, and it's poking my brain. I'm being dumb.
That's probably it.
Yeah, continue.
That's probably it. But when this was released, and this was 1993, here's the review. Although it's perfect for computer adventurers, the ultimate testimony to the wonder of this game is that even those who dislike the genre will love Alone in the Dark. And they gave him like a 9 on their rating. And here's just a little bit more. While the rest of the gaming world is awaiting the release of the 7th guest. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah,
it wasn't even out yet.
Yeah.
Spectacular CD-ROM haunted house adventure. Alone in the Dark has already set a new standard in graphic presentation.
Whoa.
They thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
Now the luxury is CD-ROM technology, and it's an unfortunate byproduct. Dreadful overacting by digitized live performers. This guy did not like those digitized live performers back then in 93.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 256 color VGA display actually reveals more texture and depth in its low detail setting than most other games can offer at their highest. This was well received at the time.
It was huge. It was a big hit. People loved it. Two movies got made. They're both bad, especially the second
one. Yeah, fast forward 30 years. Literally been 30 years. This was released in 1992, and here it is, 2022.
Yeah, so, and it's about that. To get a not remake.
Ugly.
A new one. They're making a new game. It was just announced.
A reimagining is what it is, I believe.
Which, you know, modern trappings, beautiful graphics, whatever. It'll be a PS5, Steam, possible Xbox thing. We don't know for sure. We know Steam and PS5 for sure at the moment.
Yeah, PS5 has a trailer. We'll probably watch that a little later.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So the original game, if you're looking at it now, like some of the people in the chat are probably looking at it and going, well, this looks a lot like the way Resident Evil worked, except obviously this character is very different. That's because it pioneered this like weird preset camera and tank controls of your character, which everyone always thinks is of a Resident Evil trope, and it is, but these guys did it first. And if I remember right, you use the arrow keys, at least I had to with a DOSBox play I did yesterday.
Correct.
You use the arrow keys to move around. I think maybe there's some mouse stuff. I can't remember.
I didn't have any mouse on this one. It was arrow keys, space bar, and enter, I believe. It was like six. It was six total keys, I believe, that you could do.
We haven't bought it. This was an era in PC gaming where the WASD thing had just not happened yet.
Yeah.
We didn't know about WASD yet and how it was going to take over.
Yep. And we're still in 3.11 territory, right? So, I mean, not everybody even has a mouse, maybe. I mean, most people should.
But most people probably
might
have. 92, mouse. You might have. In 92? I don't know.
I mean, most people would have had a mouse. Most.
Yeah, if you were, I guess if
you were
using,
but wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah. If you were still a hardcore holdout on using DOS,
right?
My guess is you didn't have a mouse. Maybe you did. And like even WordPerfect for DOS had mouse support, so maybe you did.
Right, right.
But anyway, the game was like full of puzzles. You go to this old house, you walk around in there, you try not to get killed by stuff that you discover, you try to uncover the mystery of the place. I got some audio that kind of sets up things story-wise, so check this out.
On my door, a dull brass plate says, Private Detective.
So he's a, you know, he's a dick.
He's a dick. Yeah, there you go. Nailed it. He's a dick.
I thought he talked longer. I put some ice in my mouth. I thought he was talking longer so I could chew my ice, but nope. Anyway, that's dangerous. Yeah. Anyway, don't choose mice. Or choose ice. Or choose mice. Don't choose mice. Anyway, so you're a detective. You got to go figure out what's going on over there. And this is some sound of some walking around. The little footfalls. Actually, I'm going to argue the first game did better sound work than 2 or 3 or the second or third one. I think that those games have some rough sound work, and I don't know why. Like, why
does... We're probably going to end up talking more about the first one than we are about 2 or 3, simply because 2 and 3 aren't nearly as good, and they're just kind of more of the same, just different settings, different mix of puzzles and that kind of stuff. But
I would
agree with you.
Even this part right here where he's fighting, which you have to do in a menu. You want to choose to fight in a menu.
Yeah.
Which is very weird. Anyway, you have to choose that, and then you get into this little fight. And even that reminds me a little bit of Resident Evil. When you'd shoot a zombie in the head, it would kind of have this fallback animation and then come at you again. Yeah. So a lot of that stuff just sort of established in what would be, I think, pretty much, I mean, if you're talking graphically anyway, this is like the first survival horror game of its kind. I don't think anything else before this existed. I looked around. I tried to find some stuff that predated it that you could call fitting that genre, and I couldn't do it. This is it.
Yeah, I think this is pretty much it. Now, some people may say this game that was over, but this is the first popular game that did this. This was it. This is a genre defining game. All of these elements you pretty much see going forward in the survival, but they didn't call it survival horror during that time. They just said it was they just called it an adventure game.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Cthulhu type horror in it, right?
Yeah, definitely Cthulhu type horror. That's the horror we're talking about here, not necessarily straight zombie or, you know, I don't know, chemical gone wrong the way, you know, Resident Evil, everything's like, the company did it and now everything's effed, and this doesn't do that. This is more like traditional. I mean, it's even set in what, like the 1920s? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, 1920s. Frederick Raynal, French guy, right?
Yep, French dude.
His dad had a computer in video rental shop. And so he watched a lot of horror movies, mm-hmm. loved them.
Like you
and
do.
I'm with him.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
And so he programmed and directed this game, and you can really feel it. You can really feel it.
You can. Now I'm going to back to the sound work. I think the sound work in the game, in the first game, is legitimately creepy and super resonant and has just a really, I agree with that review, really killer sound work. What happened with 2 and 3? Like, by the time we got to New Nightmare and 01, it was better. But 3 and 2, I'll play some of it when we get to these two games to talk about them more.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Like,
yeah.
bad. Yeah. And, like, he's running in the grass and it's going like people knocking on a door.
The breathing is really weird. Okay, so a couple things are going on here. The when the first one was released, it was on 4 floppy disk. So we're still in floppy disk with the small floppy disk.
Yeah.
So all the multimedia had to be on there.
Well, you're talking about a three and a quarter inch case floppy disk. Yeah.
There. Correct. Yeah. So 4 disk there. Load those puppies up on your DOS machine or Mac later on. Like 3DO and Mac, they both had copies too, but I don't think they came along until 1994 or so, or 93.
They didn't launch on the – they launched it DOS. They did not launch 3DO or Mac. Those did
correct.
Come later. You're right.
Yeah, they ported those later. I'm with you. It felt like they were kind of – I think what happened was one of the things I had read was – that Alone in the Dark was supposed to be originally just going to be one game that was supposed to be almost like an anthology of games. It wasn't going to be this same topic every time. They were just going to use the game engine, which they were going to have different themes and settings. And the popularity of this game, it actually did pretty good enough for them to go, we should probably look at 2. But they didn't have a plan mapped out.
At the time, I worked for a small computer company. I was just a dumb 22-year-old or however old I was. Not even that. And when I first saw this, everybody in the office upgraded their computer to play it. Like, that's how into it we were. And that wasn't cheap then. It was like, I got to get 4 more megabytes of RAM. I got to get a 486 DX2 instead of this DS or whatever the hell it was, 25 megahertz, 486 piece of shit. Like, you had to go nuts to upgrade. Did. And this happened every time anything cool came out. Ultima Underworld, I guess it was called, came out, and we all did the same thing. We did it for Doom. We did it for Quake. Like, every time there was some massive new change, we're back in the back, swapping out hardware, buying new motherboards, putting a new video card in. Yeah. It was just the way it was. So.
Exactly. Now we just think, okay, I need the latest video card. And that's pretty much, usually, unless you get to a certain point, that's really all you ever had to do. But back then, you had to replace a lot of components. As a matter of fact, were you building yours at that point?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Always.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't building at this point because I just wasn't interested yet. But yeah, you have to, like you said, you have to upgrade. And the reason why is because we're talking about polygons here. We're rendering characters in real time, polygon. Even though the background is you think it's 3D rendered. But it's not. He rendered an environment, a 3D environment. It was just a wireframe. Frederick, he did that, and then he sent it out through the office, and they used Paint Deluxe. Is that the right one? I think it is.
Yeah.
Or Deluxe Paint. Which way? I say it backwards all the time.
Deluxe Paint. That's correct.
Yeah. Right, and then they literally just did a photo, and then they put that in here, and then he would draw wireframes over it for the collision boxes.
Yeah.
So everything you're seeing here, the only thing you're seeing is the polygons of the characters and the enemies. And by the way, the chat room is loving the thing that drew me to the movie. To the game. The first thing that you'll notice about this game is the hilarious fight. All the fights are hilarious. The way this character moves.
None of them are cool.
Hilarious.
They don't look cool ever fighting ever. He looks ridiculous. He just looks so stupid the way he moves. I mean, again, like, they're breaking new ground here for 3D and for mood and for tone. But this, I mean, I'll admit it. I tried to play a whole bunch of this yesterday.
Yeah.
It was hard. Like, not hard difficult, but like hard, like, ew, it's just so kludgy and everything moves slow. And it's just this very funky thing. And I love it for that, though, because this is pioneering time for this stuff, right? Like, nobody knew how this was going
to
go.
That's what you're supposed to feel. That it's still, the technology was lining up
with the story. And I don't know how much of it was intentional. Some of it was intentional, but some of it was, you know, just incidental, where you are moving slow, but it's partially because you know, like, it moves so fast. Mm-hmm. But it makes the character vulnerable, which makes you feel vulnerable, which makes it, you know, brings the anxiety up. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things that just worked here that just would keep moving forward. And one of the reasons why he looks so goofy is because it's such limited number of frames for animation. It's mm-hmm. like, I think like the walk cycle is like 3 or 4 frames, and then I guess probably those judo chops he's got, or the headbutt, that's probably a couple of frames. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's but it brings joy. And there was actually a couple of times that I was creeped out and startled, but some of it's because, you know how old stuff is creepy sometimes?
Oh yeah, no, I feel you. Like right now, this weird gargoyle he just woke up by touching the mirror is another one.
Yeah,
like there's something about him.
Yeah, it's weird, but yeah. I don't know if it's what it is about human nature, but sometimes when we see things that are old, it gives it a creepier nature. And this feels old, and it has a creepiness to it that I love.
Yeah, I kind of do too. I also love his run because it looks like me being chased by a spider. It's really stupid.
And that's hilarious. I spent so much time watching all this stuff on this. Frederick Renal, I hope to butcher his name, I'm sure. He's French. And he gave a great, in the 20 years, in 2012, he gave this great postmortem on this game at the GDC, mm-hmm. the Game Developers Conference. And it was so fun watching him. And you talk about that funny run cycle. Mm-hmm. He was trying to describe that to one of the animators who was animating the character. Mm. He said, "I need the character to run." And so he ran around the office to show him. And of course, there's like, it's a small office and there's desks and stuff. And so he was running back and forth and he literally ran like that.
Wow.
And so the animator came back with it. They had a good laugh and then they kind of left it in.
Just leave it in.
But you can just see this. You can just see Frederick now back in 1991 when they were working on this, you know, trying to show an example of how to run, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a small office and he's doing this little hop, almost little short run. So it's just kind of hilarious.
The surprising thing about the game is it's actually, I remember back in the day thinking it looked huge and I played it and beat it. And I felt like I played it for hours and hours and hours and hours, but you can beat this game in about 55 minutes. It's not hard.
You can beat it in about 55 minutes. Typically you would probably like, if you were a new gamer at this time, new to this type of style of fighting and playing, it was probably going to set you back, you know, 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. Yeah. With all the stuff we've learned over the years, by the way, right now he's fighting one of my favorite things.
What are these chicken dogs, or what is that thing?
They are zombie chickens. I had a lot of different people tell me, well, I think they're this. And, he mentioned, right now he mentioned it during that postmortem. He says, yeah, it was like, it's like a zombie chicken. You know, all this stuff was based on, originally when they were developing this game, they were going to base it on the Call of Cthulhu series, the Call of Cthulhu. Right. And because that's what they wanted. And they ended up not going that
game
route.
You're talking about, right? The tabletop game would have cost money to license and all that.
Yeah. And they had secured the license for it, Infograms.
Yeah.
My senior Infograms?
Infograms. Let's see how that guy said it at the top here. Hold on, I'll play it again. Here we go.
An Infograms game.
Infograms.
Yeah. Infograms, that's right.
Maybe that's just how Americans say
it. I'm always saying you got it wrong. It's Infogames. But yeah. No. They had the IP. They had the IP and they were trying to develop a game with it. And this was where they wanted to apply it at first. And after I forget, they had a treatment written up for it, and the guys over at the Call of Cthulhu said, don't do that.
Yeah.
So they kept some of the spirit in, but they kind of separated themselves from that. And they ended up using it later on in another game they had, like, I think it's called Shadow of the Comet in 93.
I remember that one.
Also Infogrames. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where they put that's where they applied the IP at.
It's funny how much of this, you know, after playing some of it yesterday and also watching a ton of video of it, including what we're watching right now, how much of this is lifted by Capcom to make Resident Evil. There's so many ideas here that were already in play, and everybody looks at Resident Evil like, oh, it redefined a world of gaming and genre, you know, like all the freak out. And I like Resident Evil, or have in the past, don't get me wrong, and the new ones are insane, but they owed a lot to these guys, and I'm not sure they ever got the credit.
I agree. Deserve. As a matter of fact, I was shocked at how many people. Now, I got excited because in September they had the big announcement for the reimagining of the new Alone in the Dark, and I never really played it. I was aware of it, but I never really played it. And I was super excited we got to play it this past week. And I was in the same situation when I hit Twitter and stuff. I'm like, oh, I like this, and they're like, I've never even heard of this franchise, and I'm like, what?
I know. There's a lot of that. It was I hate to. I think there's a game here, okay, especially in its heyday, but it's also, in a way, this was a PC gamer tech demo. This was a way of saying, hey, all y'all with your 8 megabytes of RAM and your freaking 486 DX4 or whatever the hell you bought, or your AMD, whatever those were called then, guess what? That's what this hot new hardware is, to play a game like this that won't run on your old shit, and no console's going to do this, so congratulations, well done. This is the hotness right now. But I don't think as an overall, like games industry overall, especially in the 90s, I just don't think it was that well known outside of our circles, you know?
Yeah, I agree, because you're right. I mean, at the beginning of 92, it was only for the PC, so you wouldn't have seen it outside of that. So unless you got to the 3DO and then later the Mac, but even that, those are both, you know, gamers weren't typically sitting in those areas. Not the big numbers anyway.
Yeah.
I love how you're walking.
It's amazing. His walk is amazing. It's so good. Best walk in game history. I'm just going to say it now.
It really is. I really love the fighting. It didn't take me long to regress and to have some jump scares in this game. I didn't think, I was like, this game can't creep me out. I'm like, get out of here. A couple of times got me pretty good.
Predefined perspectives when you walk into a room and it's like a camera view that is like this weird obscured down angle, and you can't quite see yourself and you don't know what's beyond it until you go there and the camera switches. There's something to that totally holds up in terms of like scare tactic. It works.
It really does. Yeah. And it falls back to that feeling like a cinematic. And I think that comes, you know, from his dad having that, you know, that rental place and being able to watch all those scary movies and thinking of storytelling in a cinematic way.
Yeah.
What an interesting solutions he had for this adventure game that had, you know, nuances of horror in it.
I mean,
it wasn't that at all.
You know what Paranormal Activity is? It's basically, that movie is basically this concept of putting cameras in corners and then filming shit in, you know, in the middle of the night on freaking infrared or whatever. It's the same. It's the same. Whatever this game did to get you a little freaked out is a primal human thing that is all about, I can't see. This is an unnatural position that I'm seeing from, and I can't tell what the hell's at the end of that hall until I go there. Yes. And this game does that still really well. I agree.
It does. Yeah. And I like... You know, I usually don't like where I have to like bust into a menu to equip things and that kind of stuff. But since the pacing of this game is so terribly, you know, slow and deliberate, that it doesn't bother me to drop out and go, okay, I got to go into fight mode. All right, here we go.
Come on, it's such a weird thing to put it in fight.
Put up your fisticuffs.
You got you got open search. You got what were the other two? Here it is. Close and push. Yeah, so you could push stuff, you could throw things. He likes to rear back and huck a book as hard as he can, but it just drops below his feet as if he didn't throw it. It's hilarious.
That throw, you better get good at that throw. I'm going to do so if you're listening and you're like, oh no, don't spoil the game from 1992, because some of the puzzles, it's still an interesting run, but I'm going to spoil a couple of things.
Do it. Who cares? That's old.
That throw is important. Especially at the end. So the background here essentially is that you're a detective. You're being hired by Emily, who's, I believe it's her uncle, if I understood correctly. And he hung himself in the house, and there's some secrets going on, and something weird's going on in the house. And you got to go investigate it. I think you can play as Emily as well, but I'm not doing that. No. I'm going with the guys that's in through the whole series. And so.
Wait, did Emily not show up in future editions of the game? I don't mean the modern, like the 2010 one or something?
The 2000. There's a 2008 and then some kind of weird Left 4 Dead. I didn't even look at those. Yeah. After 2001's Dreamcast version, I said, cutting that off right there, baby, until the new stuff comes out.
I think you have to. I don't think you have to because the stuff that did come out on 360 PS3 era stuff is what I'm thinking of. Or maybe it was PS2. I don't remember. But those were very bad games.
Yeah, they were. One was like a Left 4 Dead clone kind of ripoff thing. And I'm like, whatever. But basically, you're here at this manor, this mansion. Because there's a wizard, a sorcerer who has trapped himself in a tree that the house is over or built on or something. And he's opened the dark world. So there's all these dark creatures coming in and out. And, so essentially you have to take that lamp that you see when you first start the character. You see the object that you're going to use to end the game.
Right.
It's that gas lamp. You have
kinda
to pick
like
it up.
That, by the way, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like games that do
Isn't
that.
It cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I like, mean, it. You're there's like, some, oh, there's the lamp. Some, it's sitting right in front of me.
There's some games out there where they do that thing where you start and the very first fight you have is the one you have to eventually win. Oh, you know what it is? It's Yooka-Laylee, the sequel to Yooka-Laylee, which I love because... You can go back and try anytime you want, but you just may not have the tools to do it well. Of course, there are people who are so good, they're going to figure out a way to do it on, minute one. But I always admired that. Or even games where it's like you walked in here and you didn't notice, but there's like a gem over there that is ultimately going to be your reason for being here. But you don't know until you're done.
You don't know.
I love that.
It's very much like Bruce Willis being dead the whole time, right?
Yeah.
You front-loaded everything. Of course he's dead. Of course I needed that lamp. And at the very end, you throw that lamp onto the tree, and it burns the sorcerer up, and all the bad guys leave. There's a bunch of jump scares in this thing and a bunch of ways to fail. But all the Alone in the Dark games that I saw, well, except for three. I take that back. Okay, one and two, for sure, you start in the attic.
Yeah.
Let me back up. Let me back up even further.
Okay, back up. Well, when you arrive in a car, manor, you get there in a car, but
When you're dropped off in the out of a car, you arrive at the manor, and then you watch this cut scene where you go, the character comes in and they walk through the entire house, so you get a full look, the downstairs and then the upstairs, and they finally plop you in there, and that's where you start. So you kind of already have an idea of where you need to go because you just walked there, you watched them walk there. And I just, like I said, they give you everything you need to complete this game without having to fight. There are fights like we've been talking about, but they're very difficult because you're using tank controls, and it's real easy to get stun locked in fights if you don't get the first hit in. But the good news is the game was designed so you don't have to fight at all. You can do things when you first start. The creature that first hits you up is that chicken zombie thing that jumps through the window. Yeah. They tell you in the story beforehand that when they arrived, her uncle had pushed the wardrobe in front of the window like he was trying to block a monster. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the first thing you do is you go, okay, I need to go push that. So you go push that over. You don't even have to fight him.
Yeah.
And then there's this stuff like that all through the game that if you read the stories, you're rewarded and you don't have to fight because the fighting is the most, that's like the fallback.
it's rough.
If you're fighting, you probably did it wrong. The only time you really need to fight is when you're fighting against a pirate. You're doing a little swashbuckling. That's kind of cool. And there's some platforming in this too. I don't want to do any platforming.
No, it's so bad. The platforming is bad, dude.
Yeah.
Like really bad. Here's the thing though. I respect a game that says, hey, if you gain some knowledge, you can solve these problems in a different way. That's very RPG of it, right? Like usually that stuff's just artificially applied with numbers. Like, oh, I'm putting more money in, or I'm putting more points in intelligence, or I'm putting more points into charisma or whatever it may be. But in this case, it's like, hey, if you read that book,
right,
the few pages they make you read, it will tell you how to get around the purple guy.
Yeah. And it's like everything, man.
Yeah, I love that. That's actually a cool thing and not enough games do now.
It's really important to horror survival games that have puzzle solving elements, especially the ones that are like that tells the story, which we usually do. It's like usually like in modern ones, you would find a cassette recorder and you'd play like and you could listen to that, you know, whatever's going on while you do other things. But it's really smart because what it does is engages you with the story to the point that you get so focused when you read that it's easy to have a jump scare.
Yeah.
So like you'll focus in, you're reading stuff and you've got this particular pace and it's got your engagement. And then suddenly you walk by and you open a door and a zombie's there coming in to attack you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just yeah, like really I said, like it. Really good, just game design thought out.
I agree. In my opinion. Yeah. I think they stumble on their own control system and their own jank, but that's not their fault. That's a thing of the time. And you were actually telling some pretty cool story and some good interconnected sequences. Like one's still, I think, a really, really good game. Now I'd like to play some audio from a game that's less good. Do you want to hear that?
But I would totally go hang out at Dorsetto and hang out with Emily. And
oh, hell yeah. Why not?
I would totally do that.
I wouldn't play her, but, you know.
I wouldn't. Like I said, she's fine. She's actually hilarious. I mean, as much as he's a weirdo, oh, my God. She's just as weird.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's only 10 planes to make a face on a polygon or something. So, I mean, it's
basically the same. And the movement and animations, they didn't give her new stuff. It's still his stuff. But I'll tell you what, she looks less stupid running than he does. I'm going to put it out there.
She does. She's actually a little faster too. There are some strategies to picking the different characters because there's certain things she does faster. Than Carnaby.
I hated this sequence that we're looking at right here where he's walking around with the lamp and can only see.
That is hilarious because that's the thing we all hate. And it was almost the original pitch for this game. The original pitch for the game was to be just that. That's the reason why they came up with the Alone in the Dark thing. You would only be able to see, navigate and see in the areas that the light was, the lamp was lighting up.
Right.
And so, this is such a small part of it, and thank God it is such a small part of it.
I am so glad. Because I hate that crap. If that was the whole game, forget it. We wouldn't be talking about this game.
No, we'd be talking about something else for sure.
Damn straight. Okay, here's some audio from 2. All right, so we start in a similar way, some talking.
22nd of December, 1924.
A little more music going on. Doot, 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 doot. Now, here's where footsteps get weird. It's just shitty. It's not good.
They don't match.
No, they don't match at all.
It doesn't match the animation at all. It's just like random.
Not even close. There is a funny breathing thing in here if I can find it. Hold on.
God, I love the breathing.
That really, you hear that? Okay, that's one of them. There's some more coming up. Let's see.
I do like the bass. Yeah. I do like that little bass riff. I do too.
Where's the breathing? Oh, yeah.
There you go. There it is.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's right into the microphone, dude.
Yeah. I played that part and I couldn't figure out because that's part of the opening of the game.
Yeah.
That you have a partner and he's investigating a kidnapping of Grace, which is a little, a small child.
Yeah.
And he's actually in the room with her after climbing up the lattice outside or something. And I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be him breathing or if we were supposed to be transitioning to Grace because she's sleeping and because it was a different breathing noise completely.
Yeah.
And so weird. But then he dies very shortly thereafter because apparently some kind of ghost jester touches him.
Sure. Yeah,
no, you don't want to understand touched. What was going on.
You don't want to get touched by a ghost jester. I can tell you that.
No, ghost jester,
jester,
not like emotion, but the funny guy that the king threatens to kill with the funny feet. What's that guy called?
Chester. There you go. Nailed it. Anyway, so 2's a trouble. It's a problematic game for a lot of reasons. There's way more reading and stuff. I don't know why this guy's skinned up as Santa Claus. That's freaking me out a little.
Oh, you must be playing. Okay, yeah, that's actually part of the story. There was
I don't remember.
There was a development going on at the same time of something called Jack in the Dark, which was a game that was like almost like a mini game that came as a they released it like in 93, Christmas of 93, and it told the story kind of Gracie. Or Grace, is it Grace? It's Grace. And she's in like a toy shop and she's got to save Santa. And so it's built in the same engine, but she can't leave that room. And she only can interact with things. And there's a part in this game where you do that and she has to do something with that Santa suit. I didn't go through all of it. But yeah, there's a reason why he's wearing the Santa suit.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's a good reason.
It's a stark reminder that I only started to and never finished it back then.
Right. Right.
I felt no desire to do it again here.
Is he drinking a flask? He's drinking a flask.
Because he's Santa Claus, dude. He likes to, you know, put it away. He likes to put it down.
Yeah.
I get it.
You gotta put it down, baby. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a weird one. Lots of puzzle solving. Less horror overall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, just less scary.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the themes are still like, someone's been kidnapped and you gotta save the person and it's a kid and rah, like all that. But it's gone are the eldritch horrors of the first game, I think. At least it felt
yeah,
like
they kind of separated themselves from the horror part. This one ended up being, and I wonder if it wasn't pieces of that original anthology type telling, and they just kind of like crammed it in here. But because this one's more about, this is about pirates who made a deal, and they're living forever. And your introduction to the pirates is they're gangsters because it's the 20s.
Never trust a pirate.
I don't understand. So like you approach the house. This one has a lot more fighting in action, which is a bad thing with the tank controls.
You got
guns involved, which have limited ammunition. No limit, by the way, to your inventory, unlike the first one, which had a limit, like a weight limit.
It did have a weight limit, yeah.
Look, there's the clown. There's that weird clown. That's the weird clown shit I was talking about.
Yep, I don't like him. I don't like him at all.
I don't like it.
Nope.
I don't like it.
I don't like those snakes either. This one. Snakes can F off. Look at them. Why don't they eat the clown? Are they in cahoots? They're in cahoots.
He's following the snakes. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't get too deep into the story on this one. I do want to go back. I don't want to go back.
Holy
I kind of want to go back.
Sorry. He just fell out of his, out of a chimney in a room full of like dudes with Santa. Guns. This is rough.
He's Santa. But yeah, you eventually discover that these gangsters aren't gangsters, that they're, you know, immortal pirates. And you actually get to go fight in the pirate ship eventually. You're working from top down again in a large house.
Yeah.
And you do eventually get to fight pirates. And I that almost enticed me enough to play through, but I just couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it too.
It was just too much.
No. But if you did back in the day, you played it on DOS, you played it on PS1, Mac, and Saturn. Some of those versions came later, obviously. Alone in the Dark 3. Go ahead.
I am kind of interested in getting the Saturn version. I think I might would sit through it if I could use my Saturn.
Oof. I don't know if it's worth it, man.
Well, we didn't talk about this in the first one or the second one, but there is a run mechanic in this game. Usually you're walking, always at a walk pace, but if you double tap the forward key or the up arrow, you will sometimes run. Not always, not very consistent.
Yeah.
But the PS1 version, I'm assuming the Saturn version probably too, had a dedicated sprint button.
Yeah.
So it made it a little easier to play.
Yeah.
I heard the loading times are really bad on the PS1 because CD-based.
Yeah, those were bad times for those kind of games. If you want,
Hey,
guys at home, if you want real great load times, and by that I mean the shittiest ever, the PS1's got you covered.
They do. As a matter of fact, if you have a Mr. FPGA, which just does the hardware emulation of it, you can bypass some of that stuff. Thank God.
Oh, yeah, you got to be able to. Hey, I don't want that
thank
stuff.
Thank God you can, because otherwise, it'd be such a pain.
I would hate it. Now, here's some of three. Three's a little weird. Listen to this.
Cut it short, Greg. I've got problems.
You want to do a new case?
No, not really, no. I'm alone in the dark. I'll explain some other time.
Did you hear that?
He said the name of the game.
He said the name of the game.
Do you have a noise for that? Do you have a name? Do you have a noise for whenever you say the name of the game?
No, I do it. I mean, I don't even have one for FilmSack where this happens the most. But whenever anyone says the name of the movie they're in or the game they're playing, I have to capture it. I have to get it.
Yeah. Can we get what's that one that don't they say it? Didn't they say same? He says that a lot in Arrested Development. Isn't that the one where that came from?
Oh, I don't know.
Use that line same. Is that?
I don't know. I need to find that clip.
I'll find that. Well, maybe it should be game related. Anyway.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
You're right. He said the name of the game.
So three looks better. I think animation's better, more frames, all that kind of business. This thing ended up on DOS and Mac. I don't know why this one never made it to the consoles. It just didn't.
Right.
And
nobody, after two destroyed what little reputation they had.
What's weird is it's set in a Western themed movie set, which is very weird. And zombies are there, and there's snakes, and there's saloons, and a bunch of other really dumb stuff.
Or drinking.
Yeah, it's a bad. I don't think this is a good game. It's a bad game.
It's not a good game. And actually, when I was talking to other people about three, their memory was that it was a Western. It was flat out Western. And I'm like, so not on a movie set? No. Why would that be on a movie set? That's stupid.
Yeah, and I understand. Like, they probably, the memory was it had some Western themes, and it definitely does, but it's just a movie set for a Western and set in the 50s or something. So, yeah.
So this is still using the same game engine, but this was the first one to be released on CD-ROM exclusively. No disc version first.
Right.
And you'll notice that all these games take place during the 20s. And the reason why is because doing any lighting effects would be very difficult. So like if you had like rooms with lights and things, it would be very difficult to light those. So everything is just this flat lighting. And it's one of the complaints that people have in more modern reviews that is so flat, but you know, it doesn't,
it's very flat, but that was the time we, you know, we live with it. Now this guy, the character, I don't like him because he looks like Troy McClure. He looks like Troy McClure. Look at him.
Carmby's he's pretty hilarious here. This is the last time you'll see Carmby in this 1920s look, and I'm going to kind of miss it.
Look at him. Big googly Simpsons head. He just doesn't look right. I don't like it.
Yeah. He looks goofy, and I love it. I love every bit of it.
Ooh, matter of fact,
if you watch the postmortem, one of the things they talk about is they had all the stuff. They had almost all the stuff done. They had almost all the game ready to go. It was good to go, and then they rushed the release or something near the end, as always happens. And he's like, "Wait, I don't have any heads." So they had to put those heads together at the last second. So if you want to blame anybody for the weird looking heads,
it happened
near the end. They're just like, what do we need? We need some heads. Put some eyeballs in there. Do it. Let's go.
What's with this spinning kid? What's his deal? Do you see this?
I see them. That is some weird stuff. And now I'm wanting to play it.
Now you want to play three.
Now I want to play it. They look like they're role playing. I can't tell. I don't understand why he's doing this spinning top thing, but I'm really digging it.
One of them had a gun, and then he hit the kid, and the kid turned into like a cat shadow.
Yes, I love that. And when you kill at least most of these characters, most of the ones I killed in this one, they turn to cats.
Yeah,
they go
it's weird. It's weird, man. But I'll tell you what isn't weird. The one I think is actually one of the better ones. The reimagining known as Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare from 2001. And it sounded a bit like this.
Name Fisk. First name Charles. Date of birth February 17th, 1944. Presumed date of death October 24th, 2001.
Oh.
It's all some bad footsteps still, though.
Yeah, 2001.
Yeah. Well, that door didn't sound right either. Now we're talking about the one that kind of is the end of the run. I think, at least certainly in the retro sense, this is kind of it.
Yeah.
And this one came out for Dreamcast, Game Boy Color, and the PlayStation 2. They are not the same game on the Dreamcast as is on the Game Boy Color. I can promise you that. But this is set in modern times. It is a much more Resident Evil sort of take. I think they kind of felt like they had to.
Yeah,
you got to compete. Excuse me, compete with the horror games of the time, and it's fine. I actually kind of like it. I played some of this back in the day. I did not try it for this week, but it's all right.
Resident Evil did this series a huge favor by picking up the ball. And bringing the popularity to this genre from 92 to like 9 years later, this game started implementing like the controls more controls like Resident Evil, more looking, more mood. Everything was there. So yeah, if you like those Resident Evil games, this may be the best way for you to get into Alone in the Dark. Probably if I was to say, do I need to play Alone in the Dark? I'd say you probably can watch some YouTube videos of the first one. You'll probably enjoy it. You'll get a kick out of all the weirdo stuff.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to play it though. This one's probably a pretty good one to play. The new Nightmare, to if you want to get prepared for the new one, because I think this newer reimagining, which they say is like this, there's another reimagining, and it's like, oh, it's gonna be nothing like the original, except it's gonna be exactly like the original.
Yeah.
So it's gonna still. I think this one's actually gonna take place during the 20s, whereas this one took place in modern times and inspired Uwe Boll to make a Christian Slater film.
Twice.
In 2005. Yep. Twice.
There are two of them. The second one is utter garbage. So, the first one is terrible. Those are bad movies, man.
But the new one's supposed to pop back. It's almost like they're getting a second chance at making the game that they always dreamed of, because it's going to go back to the 20s. It's still going to have Carmby here again. It's going to have Emily Hartwood. She's back. And they're both going back to the Derceto Manor, which is where they started their one. Mm-hmm. And I just really like what I've seen so far out there. I mean, I really like this game. I played a pretty good bit on my Dreamcast yesterday. So,
and was that you sent me a picture of the Dreamcast. What's the little unit called? What's that called? That's
the VMU, which I have right here. It's got the little display there, and it says Alone in the Dark.
So it do that when you're logged into the game, when the game's booted, that's what that does. I don't remember that happening in the Dreamcast games for some reason.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So certain games, this is all programmed from the disc, and it says Alone in the Dark. And I think even I didn't read the manual, but I think in some parts, because in this one, you don't necessarily have like a health bar. You have more like how your emotional state is, right? So you'll go in and look, and it's like fragile.
Yeah.
or something like that.
Sure.
And so as you take blows and hits and are scared and stuff. And I thought I'd seen like something that it would once you get low enough, it would like show it on the VMU unit that you're like, your little heartbeat thing or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I got to go back and look. Like I said, I didn't get to play as much as I want. I only get to play like each one of these games for like an hour and a half, 2 hours usually. So
Much more than that. Well, with one you can beat it, but much more than that, you're probably going to start hating the series, and you don't want to do that. You want to love this stuff. But this game definitely leaned into this third game or fourth game. Actually, really leaned into the Resident Evil business. Yeah, look at those guys, all rubbery and stupid looking. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's great because we're looking at this game came along. This is nobody talk about some of these games. Sometimes we say, "Oh, this is a series that kind of always comes late in a console's life."
Yeah,
this one seemed to be like coming early every time. So this is the Dreamcast was leading into this new generation of consoles. Here we are again. They're going, "Hey, let's get out there. Let's put our best foot forward." Unfortunately, that's usually the awkward phase, and so. Even though this is leagues better than the other ones, it's still kind of ganky.
Yep. Well, we'll see what they do with Alone in the Dark, to be announced on a release date for PlayStation 5, Steam, possibly other platforms coming up next year
some people are saying 2024. Some people are saying 2023. THQ Nordic picked up the Alone in the Dark franchise from Atari SA, who was
they bought so many things from so many, and I gotta say, those guys have been kicking ass. I love, like, they put out all these remastered versions of stuff. The Kingdoms of Amalur remaster is fantastic. They're
so good.
Their version of the remastered version of Red Faction, a gorilla, is amazing. Like they seem to give a shit about this stuff. They actually care. Yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah. But the THQ THQ Nordic has had the licensor for the franchise since 2018. So I don't know. It's according. Did they make good use of their pandemic time? It can release it earlier, or you know,
I don't know.
Or they just now they've announced it. They're showing gameplay. I've seen some gameplay of this of it. Can we? You want to play a?
Yeah. Do we have? Where's the? Oh, we got it right here.
Yeah. We got a little video there of the announcement trailer that just launched here in September. Is this for the PS5? And they haven't announced the date yet, but it looks like gameplay to me.
Yeah, it looks. I mean, it's what you hear. Let's get some audio going too.
Maddening and our haunting images.
New Orleans, they call the rising sun.
Oh, it's a cool version of CCR's.
Thousands of young to salvation have gone.
Oh, they're not CCR.
God,
who am I thinking of?
She knows I'm one.
Nordic and Peace is interactive.
Don't let them get inside, compare. They're not the good guy.
Well, this is a modern ass game here.
Cursed or blessed.
It's a battle. This is future.
That lady contained. You know what I always think of with these things? If you look at the old game, like the original Alone in the Dark, this character, this girl sitting on the bent on the thing here on the whatever this is, bridge.
Yeah.
She is made up of what? 1,000 times more polygons than your whole character was made up. That always blows my mind, you know?
There's been 30 years that has passed since the first one. And it's amazing if you look how much progress we made from 92 to 2001 to the Dreamcast. And then you think, oh, my God, it's been another 21 years.
Yeah, another massive set of improvements and changes that if you're there for the whole thing, you kind of miss it because it's just happening slowly. But it's like when you have, you know, when you have your own baby. By the time they're 12, you're like, oh, yeah, you're 12. I was here for all of it. But if you have a nephew who's a baby and then you don't see him for 4 years and then you see him again, you're like, what the frick? You're like tall and like have a voice and what's going on? It's like that a little bit. Yeah.
I wonder how many floppy disks it would take to just hold her character model.
Oh, my gosh. No, too many is the answer. I don't think it'll work. Here's the other thing about that. What was it? Oh, I was looking at Toy Story the other day. The original Toy Story versus, say, something like, I don't know, the latest Toy Story 4, let's say, is a good example. Yeah. It doesn't even have to be that, but any modern Pixar movie. A single shot, like single frame of rendered content in a modern Pixar movie is larger than the entirety of the Toy Story 1, the film, the entire movie.
Right,
would fit into one frame of a new
one. Murphy's Law.
Oh, it's crazy.
Trying to apply it. Right.
Wait, not Murphy's. What's the law? It's not Murphy's Law.
Murray's Law.
No, it's not Murray.
I was trying to remember it, and so I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go with it.
What is it, chat? You guys know this. It's the technology thing where everything doubles. Yes, Moore's Law. Yeah, it's definitely not Murphy's Law. If something bad will happen at will or whatever.
You ever worked on any video games? It feels like Murphy's Law.
All right, I'm going to see the end of this. Let's see what happens here.
Have you ever talked to a doctor about your condition?
This is madness!
Are you crazy? Fall on your knees. Wear the mask. Raise his name.
You know what I love in my horror games? Religious fanatics. Love them.
Yeah.
Love them.
That's what's so good. It's going to be, I can't wait. It's not going to be a fixed camera. It's going to be third person, but I'm stoked about a new Alone in the Dark.
Yeah. It looks great. I will watch that. I mean, I don't know if I'll play it because the scary games freak me out, but
I'm not going to play it. No. Are you insane?
I watch a lot of horror movies and none of them bother me, but video games that are scary. Resident Evil 7 still to this day. Oh man.
I was curious about that. How'd you do with the Alone in the Dark? Were you able to get past the controls long enough to immerse yourself to actually have any jump scares?
Back then for sure. Yeah. Today? No. Yeah. No. Today it's just like nothing. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's just too rudimentary now for me to get too worked up about it, but I could play.
It only creeped me out because of it feeling like it was old.
Yeah,
which is weird. Whatever that is, that humans, they fear things that are old. What is that? What kind of phobia is that?
I don't know.
It's not even really a phobia. It's just a feeling. It's like a the fear creepiness of old things. What is
Let's
that?
See if there's an actual phobia defined for it. Fear of old things. It's called paleophobia.
Oh, so it's paleo. Yeah, okay.
Symptoms of paleophobia. Phobias are listening to concerns. Physical symptoms. Sweating, trembling, hot flushes or chills, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. They just basically have all that. Fear of losing control, fear of fainting. Okay, treatment for this particular one.
Hugging your grandma
for a long time.
But I don't feel like it's a phobia though, because I'm not like arachnophobia. I don't really have a extreme fear, a debilitating fear of spiders, but I do go like, ooh, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kind of like, ooh, it creeps me out. Ooh, don't care for that.
How do you like this one? Testophobia. What do you think that's a fear of?
Fear of your own balls.
Nope.
I don't know.
It is a rational fear of taking tests. That makes sense.
That makes sense. Yep. That's actually pretty good.
How about this one? Optophobia. Fear of opening one's eyes. Ooh.
I was about to say fear of seeing stuff, but that would be a sucky fear. Well, we're talking about being alone in the dark. Oh,
this can't be real. Okay. Symptoms of inobisphobia.
Right.
Is fear of the Among Us video game.
They made that up.
It's connected to something called ludocritophobia. I don't know. Anyway, it's a thing,
I guess.
Is it
like being sus? Is it like a fear of other people or something?
I think it's a fear of lying and then no one believes you or something like that. That's what they're getting into here. But the physical symptoms are the same. Sweating, trembling, hot flashes or chills, ringing in your ears, disorientation, tightness in your butthole, rise in blood pressure, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, basically a fight or flight response.
Yeah, like all phobias.
Like all phobias.
I don't know why they bother.
That's your body's response.
I don't know why they bother reprinting this for every single phobia they have listed on fearof.org.
Please see arachnophobia symptoms.
There you have it.
All right.
We are going to now move on, and I'm excited to tell you what we're doing next week, but it'll take a minute before we get there because we're staying.
I just like to apologize real quick
for
talking so much about Alone in the Dark. I really did not mean every week. I'm like,
you're fine. You're good.
Why did I dive so freaking deep in this?
Because it's worth it. It's all good. Don't worry. Don't stress. I think all of this, whatever. People like our deep dives. All right. That's what they like.
Good.
Yeah. So take that, people who like things. Now this.
Destroy it.
All right. We're going to do Guess My Game. It's where we play some audio from an old game. We try to stump each other as to what that sound came from. And I'm going to start with 1992, and that is the year it came out. It also came out on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh.
And the other hint I will give you, it is Halloween related.
Ooh, mine is kind of spooky-ish, but not necessarily Halloween related.
Well, I shouldn't say the holiday related, but it's got horror. It's a horror game, or it's supposed to be a horror game. All right. NES, here's your sound. Let's see if you can figure this out. Where is it? Here it is. Any guesses?
I don't know if it had a choplifter noise, though. So, what year was it again?
1992, same year as Alone in the Dark, actually.
Oh, 92. NES. Now, I know there's lots of Friday the 13th games on the NES, or at least that one. It was
very
popular.
I almost picked one of those, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Here's some killing.
Splatterhouse, that didn't come out until SNES, right?
It's Splatterhouse, yeah. It's definitely not this, though.
How about...
A booby.
Mother. Is it Mother?
It is not Mother.
Oh.
Do you give up?
Yeah, I can't tell. It sounds like there's some kind of helicopter in there. What is that?
It's just a weapon. He swinging a rag around.
Oh, he's swinging a rag around?
Yeah. The game... Okay, so I'll tell you the game. The game is... Wait, why is this different? Oh, you spread this out again.
Oh, I accidentally hit the... Yeah, I was trying to see Link, and I think I accidentally double-clicked it. My bad.
You're right. No worries. Where did it... Now I've lost my thing. Damn it. Where is it? I can't find the game. Hold on a second.
Is it hidden? You hit it, and I hit the thing. I was trying to slide something to look at it, and I didn't slide it back. My apologies.
It's all right. Let me just see if I can find. There it is. Okay, I found it.
There it is.
I had to reveal it. It's called Ghoul School. Ghoul.
Oh, Ghoul School.
School, yep. This was, let's see, there was a, not to be confused with 1988's animated film Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School, not that.
Right.
It's a whole different thing. So basically, it's you're taking a shortcut through, shortcut home through the cemetery from school. And the school is called Cool High School.
Oh,
okay.
I hate
it. Cool High School. Senior Spike O'Hara found a strange glowing skull. He put it in his backpack to show to his anatomy teacher the next day what happened on Halloween Eve. Blah, blah, blah. Hilarity ensues. You gotta kill a bunch of creatures in the school.
Oh, God. I hate this so much. I want to play it. It looks like almost like Beavis and Butthead or something, like those era games where it's just side-scrolling.
Yeah.
Not even beat 'em up. It's more like, I don't know how to describe it, but I like the imagery near the end stuff. It looks like some of the boss fights.
Whoops. Sorry. That wasn't muted, but there it is. There's the kid running. He's got a gun.
He's got a vest on. He's got blue jeans.
Yeah, it's
those
Ted vest.
Jeans?
Bill and Ted vest is what he's wearing.
Yeah.
Yep. With the t-shirt, white t-shirt underneath, black vest on top. That's totally Ted.
Is he a painter? Why does he have those stilts?
They're springs, and you it's a thing you find, and then you can do more shit with it once you have the springs. So let's see how high you can jump now. So now he's got the springs. This is a little bit later in the game, but I remember playing this back then thinking it wasn't the worst thing I'd ever put my hands on.
Yeah,
right?
that's exactly whatever I see games like this. I always think that too. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, it's not great in retrospect, but at the time it was fine.
Yeah, every one of these games is always the same. Anytime you have like students in school, it's always like tons of lockers, always like characters. What's the word? It's like they're basically just trying to impede your progress by just standing in front of you. And if you touch them, you experience damage. So there's always somebody popping out of a locker and just annoying you and following you at a certain rate of speed.
Yep.
It's almost like Castlevania, but without the fun.
Yeah, without the fun, without the longevity and the willingness to play it. I agree.
Right.
So there you go. There's yours. Now, Brian, I'm going to play yours. Tell me what year. What are we doing here?
It was a little earlier. You were near the end of the NES life cycle. I was a little closer with earlier there with the 1987. It's an NES game. And I will tell you, don't get too hung up on spooky, but there was. Yeah, I don't get too hung up on the spooky part.
OK, I'm going to try not to. Here we go. Just to get it out of the way, not Choplifter. Okay, everybody?
Not Choplifter. There you go, not Choplifter.
Based on a property or just a thing on its own?
Based on a property loved by many.
Okay. Oh, that part's familiar.
Upcoming movie was slated for 2027 release.
Really? There's a movie coming?
Yeah.
What is this? Is this Ghostbusters?
No, but you know, that's kind of probably more the level of kind of creepiness. I mean, not like, you know, it's an 80s IP property there.
Is it based on a movie?
Yeah, based on a movie.
Shit. I don't know. What is this? I give
That'd
up.
Be the Goonies 2.
Oh, the Goonies the freaking 2. Are they really doing a Goonies reboot? I didn't know that.
They are. And it keeps getting stalled, but then they say it's still happening and no, and then yes. And
well, it
no,
definitely won't be what's his name making it, because he died, the director. Superman director. Can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Right. Last thing I had heard was like Corey Feldman said, probably not. And that was like last year. And so
wait, Feldman's aware of what's going on with it. He's like,
oh yeah,
someone's keeping him informed.
But, yeah.
What? Dude, Corey Feldman. I saw some video of him the other day doing something on stage and he's still trying to look like Michael Jackson. What's he doing?
Yeah. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I give Corey Feldman kind of a wide path. I'm like, dude, we really effed you up. I'm sorry about that.
kid actors from the 80s did not have a good time. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sorry about that, dude. Yeah. Just if you want to act a little weird, it's fine.
Yeah. You go ahead and be weird.
If you want to be, stuck in the 80s, it's fine.
I'd rather have you weird than dead, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry about your. We're sorry about your friends in your, you know,
yeah,
the Corey.
Yeah, the Haim, the Corey Haim. Yeah, that
yeah,
no good for anybody.
Sorry, we let all that crap happen to you. We apologize.
We should have probably checked in on you. You know.
Yeah.
all right. Now for an email.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
Not just an email, two emails. These came to us at playretroshow@gmail.com. I'm going to read this longer one first. It starts from, this is from Terry J.
Terry finally got through. Yes, Terry, what's up?
Good job. Hey, Scott and Brian, I already told Brian about this game during live show on Twitch, but I'm sure he doesn't remember.
Oh, I do remember, Terry.
Okay, well, there you go. Already throwing you under the bus, Brian. It says, I've been searching for a comparable game to Marble Madness for the longest time, and there has never been anything quite like it. When listening to Brian try to find Marble Madness to play with his trackpad, I decided I would try again and assumed I would fail because there are... No, I assumed I would fail, and then there it was. There's a game on iPhone called Marble Race. It is the closest I've ever found to Marble Madness. It does not use the gyro, or whatever it's called, with the phone, so you just use touch, but the level of difficulty is so close to Marble Madness, and the concept is too. It also has a nice UI, and there are a lot of similarities to how the original game played. The music and sound effects are not great, but the rest is wonderful. Hope you get a chance to check it out. Sent the link. Thank you so much for taking time with this, or talking about this game. It was one of my favorites, and I really enjoyed hearing you talk about it. Would love to watch Scott play it on Twitch one day. Hint, hint.
Yes.
Maybe I will.
Scott, as soon as we get you a track, I'm telling you, we're going to find Scott a good track ball. We got to.
Is that the trick? I need a ball. That's what I need to do it.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go back and play Marble Madness.
Well, that's true. I don't want to play it.
Not for Marble Race.
Oh, look at this. Marble Race is very... Look, Chad, I'll show you this. Oh, this is very... very reminiscent.
Do I get Ultimate or just Marble Race?
You get... I don't know.
That one looks kind of like what you have on screen, but then not. Okay. Did I type it wrong?
I don't know.
Do I not know how to spell marble?
Designed for iPad and phone. You know what? I'll check it out. I've got... when was the last time they updated this?
Going balls. We got to find some other apps.
A year ago.
Okay, it's Marble Race. I found it.
It's not that old. It's like relatively newish.
Yeah.
All right. I'll check it out.
Thanks, Terry.
I'll check it out. Thank you, Terry.
Yep.
That's awesome. Don't also got a quick email from Rob in Salt Lake City right here at home.
Rob!
Said, just thought I'd drop you a line from my Juno account since you referenced Juno Mail a couple of shows back. It's still active, but it's my burner spam account. Says 21,000 unread emails or something like that. Good show, guys. Rob, that's cool, right?
I didn't know Juno was still... Is that real? That's still available? Yeah, I'm afraid to go there.
Let me go look. I'm going to go look. Do you know Mail?
I'm afraid to look because I'm afraid it'll be this a big hack.
Let's see. Juno.
Yeah, Juno Webmail.
No, this is a parked. Hold on. Juno.
I don't know. Might not be.
It is. I went there. It's all weather and bullshit.
I went to a Webmail Juno. Interesting, though. I'll have to look more into that. Like I care. Like I want to retrieve my old Juno mail.
Let's see. Juno.
I'd be afraid to. Probably all be in there is some threatening letters from Columbia House.
Yeah, no kidding. Actually, I can't find. There's no. All these sites are parked. None of these are real. Can this be? This can't be Juno. If it is, then what is this? Oh, this is just terrible.
I know what the problem is. You're using Google. You should be using AltaVista.
I don't use Google. Search for it. I haven't used Google search in years. I use DuckDuckGo now almost entirely.
Oh, yeah. Well, that once again, you should use AltaVista.
AltaVista.com. Are they still around?
It goes to Yahoo search.
It goes to Yahoo search.
You betrayed.
Making me use Yahoo, and I didn't want to use Yahoo. Lame. All right.
Lame, dude.
Thank you for your emails, both y'all. And if you'd like to send your own in, playretroshow@gmail.com is all you got to do. Our next discussion and game will be more Halloween stuff, guys. Splatterhouse 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, the Splatterhouse series. I actually had this on one of my carts, my multi-carts for my Sega Genesis. Are you going to play it on an SNES emulation? Isn't that the better version?
I can't
remember.
It is the better version. That's where I'll play it. I think I have that cartridge somewhere buried because I owned it way back in the day. Hey, look what the mailman just brought me. Check this out.
What the mailman bring you?
I got a bunch of... Let's see. These are a bunch of die-cut stickers that I made of Kirby and jeans.
Oh, I like it. Oh, that is hilarious because it's mostly jeans and then a little Kirby muffin top.
Yeah, a little Kirby on top, baby.
Kirby muffin top.
I'll give some of these away. So
I want to thank Doug. Thanks, Doug, for recommending Splatterhouse, of course, which I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with. So I'm glad you liked the idea. But he also sent me a couple of Dreamcast games, and he sent me Resident Evil Code Veronica. I hope we can get to some Resident Evil before the holiday for the Halloween holidays are over.
We probably should. Just saying. Yeah, it needs to be talked about. I played Code Veronica top to bottom. Beat that whole thing.
Yeah. Top to bottom.
Yep, top to bottom. Hey, Veronica, I beat you. Top to bottom.
Take that.
Anyway, Very Splatterhouse 1, 2, and 3 next week. That's Splatter freaking House next week. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it because at the time they were edgy and every cool kid had it and parents hated it. Splatterhouse was controversial. No, I think I had to go to my friend's house. Hilarious. This is high school, man. I should have been able to have that. My mom was like, not in this house.
So not good, not murder game in my house. Yeah, play some more Marble Madness.
That's right.
Clean those balls.
Satanic street walking trucker type, she'd say. Anyway, that's Splatterhouse 1, 2, and 3 next week right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, man, you guys got a little quiet over there on our Patreon. The first time since the Patreon went live, we didn't have one new patron. Since last week. I know. It's a bit of a crime.
Unacceptable.
We want to get someone in there. Even at the low level, we'll take you. In fact, you know what? The first three people that do, I'm going to send them these die-cut Kirby stickers in the mail.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you want to hop in now at any of the levels, this is your time. This is your place. I'll send you these cost-free. Even if you live in Canada, I'll send you these.
Right. Okay. As they say, not for nothing.
Not for nothing is what they say. And that's what I'm saying now. Anyway, patreon.com/playretro if you'd like to support the show and never get a commercial ever. You get pre-show content every week and monthly benefits you can only get by being a member. So find it, bookmark it, read it, sign up for it. patreon.com/playretro. For everything else, it's playretroshow@gmail.com. Frogpants.com/playretro is our website. You can join our page or our Discord, all kinds of other stuff there. So go do that. And @playretroshow on Twitter. Hey, Brian, you got anything else that we should say to these fine folks before we go off into the ether?
Yeah, watch out for them zombie chickens. Push a wardrobe in front of it.
Yeah, do that. .com/hashtag. We're doing film sack Twitter post here at the end of the show. That'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm alone in the dark.
Yeah, you are, dude.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.